Genesis chapter 37, and we're in a kind of a different mode tonight than we usually are on a Sunday evening, and I just felt like the Lord led this direction tonight, and just a familiar passage of Scripture, familiar story. We're going to kind of do an overview. I'm going to warn you ahead of time, just kind of an overview of Joseph's life and of what we are, what's revealed to us about his life anyways, So if you found it, if you're willing and able to stand in honor of God's word, Genesis chapter 37. I just, as reading some things regarding Joseph recently, man, there's so much application, so much that can be drawn. And maybe you have heard different messages, even a series, and it could be a lengthy series even out of the life of Joseph. We are going through Genesis right now, as well as the life of Christ. And we're kind of alternating that on Sunday mornings. And we'll get here eventually in Genesis 37. And we'll break it down a little bit more detailed and apply some things that are specific to our lives. There's much to apply here regarding Joseph. But, there's two characters in the Bible I love to read about, I love to hear about, and I don't get tired of them. There's several, okay? Jesus, of course, right? But other than him, okay, David, because he was a man after God's own heart, but he was also a sinner. Doesn't excuse our sin, but God still used him, and I'm thankful for that. And then Joseph was somebody who went through hard times, difficult times, and God still used him in a great way, and God can still use you, amen? So Genesis 37, we'll read verses 1 through 10. We'll get to others as we go along. Bible says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And there's a lot we could say right there. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. It wasn't a tattletale. He was just, if God says it was an evil report, guess what? It was an evil report. Okay, so it was evil. And all you got to do is read chapter 38 and find just a glimpse of how evil they can be. Verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. There's a problem. Because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Another problem. And could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. That's going to come up here in a little bit. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. Let's pray and we'll get into it tonight. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're thankful for your word and thank you for this record of the life of Joseph and how you used him. Lord, I think there's just some nuggets here tonight that we can apply. Maybe they're quick. Maybe we're going to just kind of, seems like we're going to skim over certain things and make quick application. But I do pray you'd give me liberty to preach how you'd have me to, and help the familiarity of the story not take away from the power of it. With me, as I preach your word, help me not to take things for granted. And as we hear your word, Lord, I pray you'd help us to apply what we need to apply to our lives. There are some challenges in this message tonight, but there's some confirmation, some affirmation as well. And some conviction. And so thank you that your word does that in our lives. I know there's many needs here tonight. I can't meet them. And yet we trust that your word will, and we leave it in your hands. I pray this in your holy precious name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Borrowing an illustration from a message I heard one time, and I went and looked it up and got some details out of it. An individual named Horatio Nelson, you may have heard of him if you know history. He was a sickly boy living in 18th century England. He was the nephew of a sea captain, and he wanted to one day follow his uncle's example. So he strove after that. But he was weak. His health was weak. And so his uncle was reluctant to take him on voyages. The death of his mother left him in the care of his uncle. And he traveled on ship often, but most of the time he became ill. And his weak health finally forced him to stay away from ships really for a long time. But when he got older, he was kind of undaunted and stubborn. And so he began to take voyages when it was up to him to do so. And he was resolved to make his, he wanted to do something for his country. He was promoted quickly to commander of a British ship. As commander, Commander Nelson fought in battle after battle, and he was always true to his mission in life that his life should be worthy for his country. Some battles were won, some were lost. During this time, he suffered a lot of physical pain, but he didn't slow down and he didn't flinch in the face of trouble. He had strong resolve. He became a British hero. There was a decisive battle that Lord Nelson led England in to victory against Napoleon at Trafalgar. He was a man who was totally committed to his country. He was determined, and really he's characterized as somebody who is unstoppable. And he was committed. And I know that this is a story. I could read any story, and we could call them hero stories and paint a picture of perfection in these individuals. Of course, they're not perfect. But I think when I hear individuals like this and who are committed, I look at our country today and different individuals who are committed to certain causes, right or wrong, they're committed to these causes. And sometimes, not every time, sometimes I think to myself about how committed I should be in my life to the one who was committed himself and gave his life for me. Am I right? I remember in Bible college, the first couple of years I was in Bible college in California, we went out soul winning that Saturday, one of the Saturdays, and we witnessed to an individual. I had never personally been involved in witnessing, presenting the gospel to somebody before that time. And we witnessed. And while we're talking, I'm looking outside. We're at the door, and I kind of look around, and there's two Jehovah's Witnesses standing out there. No, forgive me, two Mormons standing out there. And they're waiting. And I told Brian, the guy that was with me, I said, hey, just keep talking. You know, there's some people waiting to take over after us. And he didn't even tell them that. We were there about an hour and a half. And we left. And when I turned around, I didn't see those individuals. I was like, okay, praise the Lord, you know. And then as we get to the sidewalk, we turn right. Here they come walking up behind us, and they go right to that door. And I thought, wow, you know, what commitment for a wrong cause. We played basketball that evening. We played basketball all the time. And we went to a park, and they're in Southern California, and we played basketball. And here are these Mormons walking up to, I mean, it wasn't a good area. It was kind of a rough area. And walking up to individuals, I mean, there was 60 plus people out there on that basketball court, most of them watching, some waiting to get into the next game, and some ladies hanging out there, guys, things like that. These same two guys are out there witnessing. And that was convicting. That was convicting. So I got a question for you to start the message off with tonight. And it's just a challenge. It's not a browbeater, but it still hurts. What does it take to stop you from being faithful to God? What does it take? Only you know that answer, but what does it take to stop you from being faithful to God? Or what has it taken? If you're not faithful now, what was it that stopped you? All of us are going to face hard times in our lives, different crises at different times, unexpected turns, things that are going to get difficult. But I do believe that we have a church full of people tonight that would want to say the same thing that the Apostle Paul said. If you want to turn there, you know the verses. We go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look at these words. We'll be back here in Genesis in just a minute. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. I want to be able to say this. I do. I really, truly, in my heart, want to be able to say this. It can be such a positive message, but we've got to look at it and evaluate, is this me? Can I say this right now? And if not, why not? And that is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, which says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." Paul was a man who finished his course, and so was Joseph back in Genesis. He was a man who suffered. He was a man who, humanly speaking, had any excuse to quit. He had all sorts of excuses to quit. But he remained faithful to God. And I just want to challenge our faithful people tonight, because you're faithful because you're here on a Sunday night, to keep being faithful. And if you're not being faithful or you're struggling, I would just want to kind of give you a charge tonight to evaluate where and why are you struggling. So Paul said, "I finished my course." But if you know the story of Joseph, Joseph was a man who finished his course. He was a man who suffered. He was a man who went through those things, but Joseph stayed faithful to God. And I know we don't have everything about Joseph's life, but we have a really detailed overview of the things in his life. It does not mean that he did not sin, but God didn't think it important to record the sins of Joseph's life, because that wasn't what stood out in his life. If God were to record your life, what would stand out, your faithfulness or your sins? That's a good question. That's challenging right there. But for Joseph, even though he sinned, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, even though he was a sinner, that's not what stood out about him. But his faithfulness did. A quick overview is this. Joseph was rejected by his brothers. You know, Joseph, well, actually, let me, I'm going to rephrase that. I want to add something to that that's not in my notes here, that I think is important, that I thought about before I actually walked up here to preach the message. While Joseph was a man who finished his course, he was a man who suffered and remained faithful to God. But in many ways, Joseph was a man who was like the Lord Jesus Christ. In many ways, he was a type of Christ. So again, overview of his life, but see how it relates to Christ. Joseph was rejected by his brothers, so was Jesus. Joseph was loved by his father, so was Jesus. Joseph was victorious over temptation, so was Jesus. Joseph was taken into custody because of false witnesses, so was Jesus. Joseph suffered from doing what was right, so did Jesus. Joseph was promoted from prison to rule the nation. Jesus was promoted from prison to rule the nations. And as we examine Joseph's journey, there's some things to admire about him, but I don't want to necessarily compare us to Joseph, but I want to be compared to the godly characteristics of Joseph. And as Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So really comparing us to Christ-likeness that we see in Joseph's life. So we read verses 1 through 11. In the first five verses there, we get kind of an overview of the beginning of his life. I want you to go back to Genesis 35. Genesis 35, just a couple of chapters before. The Bible says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said in his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem, and they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. First thing I see about Joseph is that he was a man of faith. Now, I know what we just read is Jacob leading his family to these decisions. But we're not going to go into interesting details that we just read there about how Jacob's family had strange gods that they were worshiping. Isn't that interesting? We're not going to go into the details they said about the earrings and things like that, but I just find it interesting that there were some major decisions of faith that they had to take in order to serve God, in order to remain faithful to God. And it began with getting rid of things in their life that should not be there. Are you with me tonight? Hebrews 11:6 says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So Jacob said, this is what we're going to do. This is what God's leading us to do. And Joseph was one of Jacob's sons that was able to be influenced by at least that part of Jacob. Oh, there were a lot of problems with Jacob. But thankfully, Joseph caught on to that part of faith that Jacob, his dad, had. There were a lot of issues we could go into where Jacob was just outright wrong. But thank God that Jacob was able to be used to have a godly influence on Joseph. And maybe Joseph and even Benjamin, it was later on in Jacob's life and last two of his sons. And so he's older, and maybe God has worked some things out in Jacob's life so that he's no longer living for himself or being a man of deceit like he once was. And obviously he's led his family in chapter 35 to at least do an outward act of getting rid of the false gods that they were worshiping and the golden earrings that were connected to that false worship. And so at least Joseph, in his more impressionable years, as a young man, as a boy actually, was impressed by that, so that when Joseph saw his brother's evil report in chapter 37, Joseph looked at it as evil and was able to bring that to his dad. And we come to verse 5 of chapter 37. Look at what it says there. "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated it yet the more." So I want to begin talking first of all about Joseph's faith. He had faith to receive God's word. Faith to receive God's word. Again, just an overview of Joseph's life, and we're going to hit some quick nuggets along the way. And just, they have direct application. When I see the success of Joseph, I see first of all that he had faith to receive God's word. God gave Joseph a dream. He revealed his plan to Joseph in a dream. He got a glimpse of God's plan for his life. God revealed the time when Joseph would be a ruler. His brothers would bow down to him one day. Joseph's dream was of prophetic value. Dreams in those days were much attended to. Joseph's dream, even though he was just a boy, engaged, when he told it to his family, man, it engaged serious conversation with his family. It takes faith to receive God's word. It takes faith to believe the truths that are found in the word of God. And I see Joseph, who accepted God's word. He didn't have the written word of God. We have this today. Joseph had a revealed word of God through a vision in that day, and he accepted it. His family didn't. His dad kind of considered it, because his dad knew a little something about that, but his brothers and his Mom and dad really at first weren't happy with this. Of course, Joseph's brothers hated him even the more because of it. But it took faith for Joseph to receive the word of God. And listen, it's going to take faith for you to receive and stand on the word of God in this day and age, isn't it? But it takes faith. And I just want to give you a quick nugget here tonight when we learn a lesson from Joseph. And that is this. Have faith in God's word. Would you just have faith in God's word? Don't stray from it. Your family needs you to have faith in God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Turn there if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We've got to exercise faith to receive God's word, and we've got to exercise faith to apply it to our life. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He had faith to receive God's word. And then here's the other thing. This is the harder part for some Christians. He had faith to recite God's word. Look at verse 6 of Genesis 37. He just repeated to them what God gave him. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. He already knew they hated him. He already had problems with his brothers. And so for him to boldly proclaim what God had given him took faith. How many of you, don't raise your hand. Well, I don't care if you do, I guess. Thanks, Brother Joel. Appreciate that. But how many of you have had situations where standing on God's word was contrary to some family? Joseph acknowledged what God had given him, and he had faith to share it with his family. Resentment built in the hearts of his older brothers, even more so as Joseph recited what was given him. We read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. You've got to remember, Christian, that your goal is, I know we want to find favor with God and man, and that's actually a verse in the Bible, and I want to have favor with mankind. I want to have favor with my family, my extended family, those who may not agree with me on things, but really, my goal ought to be to please God. And as a family member, as a co-worker, as a friend, when you have somebody who's got to hear the word of God, your goal is to please God, not mankind. Because God trieth our hearts. And as Joseph shared the news of what God had given him, we've also got to be willing to speak. Again, just I look at him, I look at his character. Why did God bless Joseph? God blessed Joseph because Joseph trusted what God gave him. And God blessed Joseph because Joseph wasn't afraid to speak up with what God had given him. There are just some characteristics in the life of Joseph when I look at the beginning and the end, and I come to the end and I see, God blessed this man. Why? These would be what you might consider small things that are actually huge. They're very profound. And it might not be easy, and they might not happily receive you, but doing so pleases God and demonstrates your faith in him. His brothers didn't like his dreams, but it was not his dream. It was God's dream. Your neighbors, your family may not like the message, but it's not your message. Listen, it's God's. Come on, you're going to get rejected, but you can wipe the dust off, shake the dust off, because it's God's message, not yours. And that can bring great faith and confidence. And though God didn't disclose every event along the journey, had he disclosed it, then Joseph's faith really would have been challenged. But God trusted Joseph enough. He had a special purpose for Joseph's life, and he promised to be with Joseph. Hebrews 13:5. Turn there, please. Hebrews 13:5. You're doing well. We're moving quick. Hebrews 13:5 says this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, read these words with me, ready to begin. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We talked about God being omnipresent this morning. He is everywhere at all times. Amen? He's also imminent. Means he's right there when you need him. But God being omnipresent carries with it more than the imminence. Imminence means he's right there when you need him. Omnipresence means he's already there before you need him. He already knows ahead of time what's going on. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful blessing that is. God already knows and he already cares and he already has a plan. Of course, we have a free will of whether or not we're going to trust him, obey him, follow him. But God is aware of these things. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And as God is with Joseph, whatever you're going through tonight, I don't know who's going through what, but whatever you're going through, God is with you. If you're a child of God, if you put your faith and trust in him as a personal Lord and Savior, if you're saved, these are not promises for the unsaved, by the way. All things don't work together for good to them who don't love God. Okay? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So while these are great promises, they're promises for the saved. Being saved doesn't make you better than somebody else. Being saved just means you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. You have a home in heaven, and you have a God who's with you at all times. And you have friends and loved ones and neighbors and family who've got to see your faith in that God so they too can have that opportunity to be saved. He knows what you need, and he will lovingly direct each step of the journey as we respond in faith. So we've got Joseph's faith. And I know this might seem like a play on words. I really honestly couldn't think of a different one here. But we've got Joseph's faithfulness. Joseph's faithfulness. I try not to be cheesy. I really do. But I can't help it. It's just who I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, if you would, in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Simple truths from the Word of God. Maybe simple truths from Joseph's life. Could be the title. I don't know. I didn't give it a title tonight. I usually do. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Joseph was faithful. You know, nobody plans for suffering, but suffering is inevitable. And when Joseph's life brought him through times of hard times, what did Joseph do? Well, he remained faithful. Joseph was sold into slavery. He remained steadfast. God took him through. What at times seemed to be headed in the opposite direction of what would be his expected end. But he continued to trust God. And even though Joseph could have quit, and many would have said should have quit many times on God, he never quit on God. He never wavered when things got hard. He never These circumstances never seemed to destroy his dream. Let me put it this way. These circumstances never seemed to get in the way of the word of God that was revealed to him and never seemed to overpower or be more profound or more dominant than the word of God in his life. Yet as Christians, oftentimes, our circumstances will get in the way of what God has already given us in his word. I read it earlier. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine understanding in all the ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. But our circumstances seem to overshadow that in our lives. But he just kept doing what he knew God wanted him to do. Each trial didn't hinder his faith. Each trial strengthened his faith. That's awesome. Every experience prepared Joseph to fulfill God's purpose for his life. Even when he was betrayed by his brethren, in Genesis 37:11, his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. They persecuted him. They planned to kill him, but instead cast him into a pit. Through all of this, Joseph remained faithful. We don't read about Joseph retaliating or getting even. Joseph just simply chose to trust God. Look at verse 20 of Genesis 37. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. We will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. That's what Satan's saying. Oftentimes in your life, each of us are going to face opposition. And we've got to remember that God is always in control. We can learn from Joseph and others in the Word of God. And Satan's angry when you do right. Satan's mad about it when you honor God, when you put God first, when you trust him through hard times. Verse 27. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. These guys were so jealous. There was envy in their hearts. They betrayed him and they sold him into slavery. They told Jacob, their father, that Joseph was dead. Don't answer out loud. Do you ever feel like your family doesn't appreciate you? Do you ever feel like your friends don't appreciate you? Remember Joseph. It could be worse. It could be worse. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. Looking back to the story of Joseph, being sold into slavery seemed to be the opposite of success. Being sold into slavery seemed to be the opposite of God's plan for him. What looked like an unchangeable tragedy, though, was another step in God's journey. Can I repeat that and apply it to your life? You know, what looks like an unchangeable tragedy in your life can be another step in God's journey. God can use it. I mean, you have a circumstance or situation in your life that you look back on, and you maybe in the middle of it you thought, how can God use this? And you look back on it and you say, God used it. Anybody? Yeah, absolutely. He knew God was in control. God was the planner. Joseph was the instrument in God's hand. Go to chapter 39 now, verse 2. He's in Egypt. A slave in Egypt. The Lord is with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Joseph continued to remain faithful through manifold suffering. His hard times just kept continuing. He was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, then accused wrongly, and then imprisoned unjustly. But through each circumstance, Joseph's faith was strengthened. God blessed him. 1 Peter 5:10, write this down if you would, and just listen to these words. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. God formed Joseph's life, found him faithful. Perhaps the greatest test Joseph would face was when he was exalted. Look at Genesis 41, verse 39. Genesis 41, verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Wow, what a difference we have from Genesis 41 to Genesis, or from Genesis 39 to Genesis 41. I know most of you are very familiar with the story. I'm not taking time to go through all the details of what has happened, but Joseph sold into slavery, and as a slave, he prospers because God's hand was with him. He honored his taskmaster and Potiphar, and he put his house first and eventually was put over everything in Potiphar's house. And then Potiphar's wife was very interested in Joseph, and she tried to get Joseph to commit adultery, to commit fornication, and of course, Joseph withstood that and said, how can I do this against my master? How can I do this against God? And so because she was ashamed and he ran out, she falsely accused him of trying to take advantage of her. And Potiphar, in my opinion, is Potiphar didn't want to believe his wife. Potiphar wanted to believe Joseph, but Potiphar had to make his family look good and went along with what his wife said, threw Joseph into prison. Joseph's in prison for a long time, and he's forgotten about in prison. He meets a butler and a baker, and the butler and the baker both dream dreams. Joseph knew a little bit about dreams, didn't he? And so Joseph asked the butler and the baker, what's wrong? What's going on? The baker told Joseph his dream, and Joseph said, I'm going to tell you what it means. It means you're going to die. And so we're not going to go into the details of the dream. Do your homework and read it later. And then the butler told Joseph his dream, and Joseph said, in 3 days, you're going to be restored back to Pharaoh as his servant. But when you get back to Pharaoh, remember me. Butler's like, no problem, buddy. And these are not the words in there, is it? But the butler forgot. He didn't do anything about it. 2 years went by, and then Pharaoh dreams a dream. Really weird dream. Pharaoh dreams a dream, and he asks all of his people to do something about it. Nobody could. And the butler's like, hey, I know a guy. And he brought Joseph, shaved, cleaned up, stood before Pharaoh, and Joseph interpreted the dream for Pharaoh and then gave Pharaoh advice on what to do about the dream. Pharaoh liked it, promoted him. The second in command said, you know what? You had the advice. You execute the advice. He said in verse 40, thou shalt be over my house, and according to all thy words shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. To some, being made a ruler in Egypt would be a dream come true. Or, you know, in the most powerful country on the face of the earth. In reality, Joseph was called to occupy a position that was very difficult, heavily laden with responsibility. Being second only to the ruler of Egypt brought a new temptation. Some may boast and take credit for their achievements. Joseph did not. It's important that we honor God and we give credit and honor to whom honor is due. Amen? He realized God had raised him up. Psalm 75 verse 7 says, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Remember that, Christian in America. God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. He's not out of his control. He's got an ultimate plan. He knows what's going on. But to remain faithful and dependent on God was and would have been a very great challenge. But Joseph remained steadfast in his faith. He never forgot who blessed him. So God blessed everything that he did even more. If you're grateful for God's blessings, then honor God regarding the blessings you've received, and you will receive more blessings. Honor yourself. Take the credit yourself. When things are going easy, forget about God and watch it go away. Watch hard times come. Verse 7 back in chapter 39. Just want to point out a few things about those accusations here. Some nuggets again. And it came to pass after the sayings that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There's none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness of sin against God? She attempted to seduce Joseph. Why did God bless Joseph? I think because he was a man of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, before it was even published. I mean, Joseph lived long before we had the New Testament, right? Actually, he lived long before the Word of God was in writing, even the law. This is Genesis. This is when Moses is giving accounts to the Israelites of what God had done in the accounts of Genesis. So Joseph didn't even have the written Word of God. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. God bless Joseph because of his character. What did it take to stop you from being faithful to God was the first question that I asked. What did it take? Was it some sin or temptation that you've given into? But he remained faithful. He remained steadfast. He remained a man of character. Temptations are going to come. They come in different forms. Satan's going to try any method to derail you from God's purpose. I'm just saying tonight, choose to follow God and stay pure. And Joseph was faithful to God. Somebody said this, Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his character. Somebody else said, character isn't created in a crisis. It only comes to light in a crisis. I like that one. So he was in prison for his faith. Let's just look at some quick verses here. Genesis 39, verse 20. So we're going to go bam, bam, bam here in these verses. He was in prison for his faith, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison for his faith. Then God's mercy sustained him. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The Lord is with him. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. I've got these written in my Bible, by the way, right next to verse 20, in prison for faith. Verse 21, God's mercy sustained him. Verse 23, the Lord was with him. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You know what Proverbs 16:7 says? You got to take this to heart. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. God doesn't say we have to be rich or strong or talented to serve him. Doesn't say you have to have all sorts of these abilities. There's one requirement God places on you that ought to be found in you, and that is faithfulness. Faithfulness. If you want God to serve you, be faithful. Yeah, but she can do this, or he can do this, or he has these abilities, or she has those talents. God just wants your faithfulness. And if you're faithful, he'll serve you. Or you'll serve him, and he'll use you in your life. How many of you know Philippians 1:6? Maybe you can finish it for me. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So then last we have forgiveness. Joseph's faith, Joseph's faithfulness, and Joseph's forgiveness. I believe forgiveness is a key ingredient that should be found in the life of every Christian. Go to Hebrews 12, please. Hebrews 12. You know what unforgiveness breeds? Bitterness. And then it results in a life that's ineffective. Unforgiveness results in bitterness. That results in a life that is useless for the Lord. One of the great signs, one of the nuggets, again, of Joseph's effectiveness was his ability to endure without resentment. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be, what's that word? Defiled. Satan loves to cause conflict amongst Christians, doesn't he? How many have seen that? Conflict amongst Christians. If he can get you to hold a grudge against somebody else, that can consume your thoughts, it can blind your eyes to God's blessings. Hearts consumed with bitterness and unforgiveness keeps Christians from going forward on their journey for the Lord. So question, is there someone that you've refused to forgive? Psalm 34:14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. According to Joseph's original dream, his brethren did come to him for help. They had come twice for food. There was a famine. Joseph's advice to Pharaoh was this. Your dream means there's going to be 7 years of plenty and prosperity. There's going to be 7 years of famine. So my advice, God's advice, store up for 7 years so you can make it through the famine. They did so, and they were not only able to save their own country, but many others as well would come to them. And so Joseph's brothers come twice for food. First time, Joseph recognized his brothers at once, and they, though, did not recognize who he was. They hadn't seen him for 20 years. He'd risen to be a great leader. He certainly looks a lot different, acts different, and has people bowing down to him and obeying his every command, and he speaks the Egyptian language. And so on their first encounter, Joseph acted like a foreigner. He kept Simeon, one of the brothers, and sent the other brothers on their way with instructions to return with Benjamin. First time they come, his younger brother Benjamin wasn't with them. He acts like he's finding out information from his brothers. And he says, okay, go back home. And when you go back home to report to your dad, Jacob, who's my dad, but I'm not telling you that, report to your dad, Jacob. When you come back, you're gonna have to come back because I'm keeping Simeon here. And you bring your other brother, Benjamin, with you. Then they returned a second time. And I want you to look at chapter 45, verse 1. I want you to notice his response. Second time they're here. Verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried. He cried. Just imagine his passion, his emotion here. Cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They said, uh-oh, we're dead. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Oh, you had to bring that up, didn't you? Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Joseph knew God had used all of those incidents in his life to bring him to this place of honor. And he did not take offense for the wounds his brothers had inflicted. That's the opposite of unforgiveness. That's the opposite of bitterness. That's the opposite of holding a grudge. Instead, he realized it was all part of God's amazing plan. And he forgave his brothers completely. If it's not complete forgiveness, it's not forgiveness, by the way. You know, God is eager to forgive, isn't he? Is that right? God is eager to forgive. I'm stumbling on my words. Let me say it right. God is eager to forgive. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, what? Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Another type. Joseph was rejected by his own. Jesus, who came nearly 2,000 years later, was rejected by his own and crucified on the cross. Jesus offers salvation and forgiveness to all who believe. And as Christ has so, as you believe in him, say amen. Christ has so mercifully forgiven you. May you learn to forgive others. First time his brothers came, go to chapter 42, verse 25. First time his brothers came, he placed their money back in the sacks. They came with money to buy food. He gave them food, but snuck the money back in their sacks. Genesis 42, verse 25, then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into a sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. He showed grace. Showed grace. Look at verse 7. After he revealed himself, he showed the purpose of God. Verse 7, and God, chapter 45, verse 7. Sorry, chapter 45, verse 7. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. Joseph showed the purpose of God. And just like Joseph and his brothers I'm just saying tonight, the question was, what did it take for you to stop being faithful? Your circumstances are directed by God. He has an eternal purpose for each step of your journey. The Bible says the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way, Psalm 37, verse 23. We've got to allow God to fulfill his purposes by taking each step as God orders it and by trusting him along the way. You say, well, I don't agree. There are certain steps that have happened in my life that I don't think God would have caused. I'm a great example of that. God did not make my dad take a gun and commit suicide. God did not force my dad to do that. That was my dad's choice. But my steps are still ordered by the Lord. Even though those circumstances may have an impact and may have great influence, God still has steps ordered for me with or without circumstances in my life. And if I follow his steps, my ways are laid before me by God. My steps are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We've got to allow God to fulfill his purposes. He showed the purpose of God. Look at chapter 50, verse 19. Chapter 50, verse 19. Why did God bless Joseph? I want God's blessings. I really, truly want God's blessings in my life. Why did God bless Joseph? Joseph was willing to receive God's word. Joseph had faith to receive God's word. Joseph had faith to recite God's word, to stand on it. Joseph was faithful, even though his brothers envied him, persecuted him, even though he was sold. Joseph was faithful even during the blessings. Joseph was faithful while he was unjustly accused. He was imprisoned for his faith. God's mercy was with him. So he forgave his brothers. Why did God bless Joseph? He forgave his brothers. Why did God bless Joseph? He showed the grace of God. Why did God bless Joseph? He showed the purpose of God. And last, why did God bless Joseph? Because he focused on the Lord. He focused on the Lord. This is a great list of how to receive God's blessings right here. Yeah. Jacob died. So Joseph's brothers thought, Jacob died. So Joseph's brothers thought that he would take revenge on them. But Joseph focused on God. In Genesis 50, verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He focused on the Lord. You know, it's all about perspective here. You know what kind of perspective Joseph had? Joseph had a heavenly perspective. God meant it for good. It would help us if we would learn to see our earthly situations from a heavenly perspective. Interruptions of our plans, obstacles in our lives, are actually God's divine appointment. Your obstacles are God's opportunities. That's the heavenly perspective. I have an obstacle, God has an opportunity. Interruptions of our lives are God's divine appointments. We've got to learn to see God as having that perspective and learn to see his hand in every situation. Joseph had a Christ-like action here. When he focused on the Lord, he was able to be Christ-like and comfort his brothers, and he spoke kindly to them. And when you focus on God, it's going to be amazing to others to see how can you have the joy of the Lord through that circumstance, because you're focused on God. Focused on God. What is it that's caused you to not be faithful? You know what? Your life, situations in your life are unplanned for you, but it's all according to God's plan. I see that in Joseph. Joseph at all times has found faith. His journey didn't go the way he wanted it to, but it went the way God wanted it to. And his life brought delight and honored God as a result. What's the verse? When we see the Lord, we want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant."